Morning.
Morning, Rachel.
Nice to see everybody.
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
Morning, Andre.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad.
Braden. Morning. Chastity, Elspeth is away, right? I think.
Yeah, she is. I think she's just getting back today, or it might have been late last night.
Okay.
David, although it's time to start, I wonder if we wait a few minutes because if we want to do the motion for proceeding, I only currently have five. I need six elected officials.
Yeah,
I've got Chastity, Rachel, yourself,
we have no electeds
Andre,
from Mahone Bay.
Braden. No. I did get an email that Kelly Wilson, he had to take his car in as an emergency, so he's not available. And I don't know anything about Suzanne or Penny.
There's
Oh,
Suzanne. She
there's
just
Suzanne.
popped
Okay,
in.
perfect. I think you've got enough then. Thank
All
you.
right. Oh, Suzanne, just the nick of time.
Six,
Awesome.
yeah.
All right. Disrespecting everyone's time, I'll call the meeting to order. Just one item really on the agenda, I think, right, Angela? Yeah. Okay. Can I
Yeah, and
have
then I'll do a little bit of an update at the end. That's all.
a. Okay, perfect. Motion to approve the agenda is circulated. Braden, seconded by. Can't see anyone. Andre, you're the only other one with a camera on. Seconded by Andre. All those in favor say hi. Or wave your hand or something. Make some sound or gesture. Thank you. Okay. We've got the notes from May 26th that were circulated. Any errors or omissions with those? Any none? Motion to approve those is circulated.
So moved.
Andre, seconded by Braden. All those in favor. Motion is carried. And we are down to Governance Working Committee update. Mark, I think you're bringing this update.
Yes, I am.
All
Good morning,
right.
everybody. Tammy's on vacation, so she asked me to bring this forward. So if anybody on the subcommittee that was there that would like to correct or augment the information, please jump in as needed. It's a recommendation that REMAC recommends the municipal partners that they get together and have a facilitated session to discuss the governance structure of REMO. It has been a while since they've done that, so it was felt that the most effective method to take a review of this is to get everybody involved on the council together with a facilitator, and they can walk through the discussion. It's suggested that we try and get this done, get an engage a facilitator engaged in August, and try and meet before the end of September, so that we can have action mapped out by December. There is another option available, but I think that was recommended as the most effective and efficient method. Cost is about $4,000 to get a facilitator, and I think this would fit into everybody's workload as needed. So I don't know if Councillor Vino or whoever else was there at that meeting would like to augment that, but that's effectively the recommendation.
I think you captured it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any questions from folks? Rachel?
Yeah, thanks. So not having been a party to the discussion, I'm just curious as to why we think a facilitator is necessary for this part. I can understand the review, you know, the legal review that's mentioned, and that would follow as a responsibility of each municipal unit. But I guess I'm struggling with who a facilitator might be, what qualifications a person might bring to that. Would they be meeting with the committee initially to come up with a recommendation for changes to the governance structure? Or any more information that maybe members of the committee can enlighten me with, I would appreciate. Thanks.
I can speak to the facilitator piece. I think there's two reasons why it's beneficial to have a facilitator. First of all, it allows everybody to kind of sit back and concentrate on the content of the discussion. And so that, if somebody in that room would have been facilitating it, they might not be able to do that. I think second of all, it allows the discussion to feel less partisan. So there's not a CAO or a deputy that's might be seen or felt to be steering the conversation in a certain way. So I think those are kind of two good reasons to have a facilitator. We recently had a facilitator for a discussion with another organization. And for those of you that were there, it may not have been perfect, but it was, I think that was a good experience to be able to at least sit back and listen to what everybody's saying without being directly involved in the running of the meeting, which I think detracts for whoever's doing that. Does that make sense?
That help, Rachel, address your a little bit more neutrality and.
Yeah. And I guess that just comes back. I'm just thinking, sometimes it's a process just to get a person in place. You have to go through a procurement process and, that takes time. And I just guess I didn't think this was all that complicated, but I guess we do need to do it in the most efficient way possible. And I just questioned that whether this was, but there's obviously been some internal discord. So a facilitator may help with that process.
Suzanne.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I had some questions about the facilitator and just thinking for booking meetings in September. Most of councils won't and staff are on take holidays in August, just to be aware that is that you don't have that person, I take it. Trying to make book dates for people in September, it may be time consuming for anyone getting responses from people. What is the interaction with councils by the facilitator? Like what do they want to hear? What are we looking for in particular?
I mean, maybe Mayor Meyer or somebody else who was in that committee would like to fill in some of these blanks at this point.
Jamie, your hand's up, so why don't you go next? You can maybe answer Suzanne's question at the same time.
I can't answer any of those questions because I was unable to make the meeting that they had. So I can't answer those questions, but I did have a question of my own about the facilitator. I just think that, it's a one-day session, and I know for some of the bigger municipalities, $4,000 might not be a big number, but $4,000 for we'd have to contribute, obviously, and I would think so would Town of Mahone Bay, and those numbers become a little bigger in our bottom line. And I know it's not in this year's budget. I'm sure we can come up with our share because it wouldn't be a huge amount. But does municipal affairs or nobody have somebody they can't send down for a day and help lead this session? Do we have to pay a consultant firm facilitator fees to come down? And I didn't know we were that fractured, but again, I'm fairly new to the table as well. So to spend $4,000, I didn't know we were at that level yet, but I guess I missed the meeting. I apologize to the committee, but maybe I'd be, you know, better to speak on it at that point. I just question the facilitator. I feel that all of us do that way too often and spend way too much money on consultants and facilitators. And this is another example of how we cannot do it either internally is disappointing to me, I guess, is my point.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Anyone able to, who was in the meeting, maybe to go back to Suzanne's question, which is kind of...
Yeah, David, I think I can hop in. Andre, if you're okay with me chiming in here.
I'm waiting patiently, and do you go for it?
All right. I think to folks' comments, I do think a facilitator in this situation would be recommendable. Whether that's someone from, you know, municipal affairs, I haven't been a council long enough to speak if that's a resource that we can reliably pull from. But I do think in this situation where we have five separate municipalities, all of us, I think, with our different experiences, different perceptions, there are clearly some, we'll say, some issues that we need to overcome. And I think to Mark's point earlier, it's about having someone who isn't biased, ideally is experienced in running these sort of conversations so that we can all focus, we can all share our opinions freely. And hopefully we can come together, right? At the end of the day, the goal of this is to come up with a new, or correct me if I'm wrong, David, but like a new intermunicipal agreement, something that kind of better reflects, today's standards and kind of what everyone wants to bring to the table. And at the end of the day, I think a third party, Jamie, I hear your concerns and I agree with you in many respects. But I think in this case, because we're five different municipalities, I think having someone unbiased who's not, who isn't directly related to any of us, I think would be very helpful. Just to make sure we get the fullest out of these conversations. I do think there was a question earlier about, I leave scheduling up to the other great schedulers, but I think the expectation is probably to chat with the governance committee, get a general idea of what we're looking for, and then the facilitator will go probably do a session with Remo. Someone will have to correct me on my notes here, but in particular do a session with each of the councils and then bring that back to Remo at large. And the idea behind that is so everyone in their own, we'll say, safe space, but so everyone kind of share their opinions and what they would like to see different, what do they like, what needs to be changed from their perspective in regards to this agreement, so we can come back to the table for a broader discussion. But it's important that all municipalities have an opportunity to, or all councillors, mayors, wardens, everyone has an opportunity to share their opinions on this.
Thanks. Before I go to you, Angela, Andre, did you want to chime in?
I'll just say that, look, I think the last, budget highlighted, where we're at. And I think it's difficult to who amongst us would lead that conversation without others feeling like there could be bias, as was alluded to earlier. And what we're talking about are like structural or foundational issues here in the agreement that relate to budget, participation, governance. It's not like we're making a little tweak. I think that this is an agreement that's very, very old and has been amended to add another partner. And I think it's now time for a pretty serious rethink. And, I think $4,000 shared amongst five governments is probably not a barrier if you have a budgetary issue there, Jamie, and you need me to loan you the $400. I'll bring it over to you, I guess. But I see this as a kind of a non-issue and not even hardly worth our talking about. Let's just get some people in here to help us come up with something, and bring us all together again. I think that when we did the budget, we put together and we have sort of this interim path forward. I think it was with I guess we were thinking that we would be going down the road of really having a hard look at this whole thing. And I think that I know Chester is willing to invest to come up with something that everybody's happy with. And that's why we're hanging around, because that's what we want.
Thank you, Andre. Angela, you're next.
Thanks, David. I think to answer some of the questions, it was biased. With regard to timeline, we wanted to ensure that we're also making the deadline of January when I have to present the budget back. So having these discussions with a tight deadline allows us to come up with whatever the way forward is. With regard to the $4,000, I'll find the funds in REMO, and or if we have to take it out of the contingency, we will. So I don't think that we need to go through doing another cost assessment and individual budgets for the $4,000, if that works for everybody.
Okay, thank you. That's good information. Jamie, you're next, and then Rachel.
Yeah, I guess my point wasn't our share of the $4,000. I'm sure we can come up with that, and we don't need a loan from Chester, but thank you very much for your offer. I guess my point was just process and the fact that we don't have it in our budget. We'd have to go back to council if we need it more money. I don't have the authority, nor does my deputy mayor, to say we can easily give you, even if it's $500, right? So that was my point, and I guess I'm a little disappointed with the whole tone of how this has went the last year or so, the few meetings I've been at. And again, it's comments, quite frankly, that was just made 2 minutes ago. That is why we're in the position we're in my opinion. And, you know, that's just my 2 cents worth, but I don't think the comment about the money back to me was really necessary, but anyways, that's just my 2 cents worth. And I can afford the 2 cents. So it's all good.
Thanks, Jamie. Rachel?
Hi. Thanks. And just want to guess the main problem I had with the issue before was kind of process and also, so how do we go about acquiring the facilitator that folks are comfortable with?
Yeah, Mark?
Well, Angela, I don't know if you wanted to speak to that or.
Any of us can, and Alex probably was just okay. About to as well. So one of the things that we had talked about at that meeting was getting somebody like a former CAO, similar to a Dan McDougall or a Louis Coutinho, that is probably available in order to help facilitate it, is very well embedded in understanding municipal government, as well as working in a multiple unit agreement like a REMO. And again, timeline was just tight in order to meet the budget. Alex, if you wanted to have anything else, go ahead.
I think that's exactly right. The discussion at the group was certainly that it would be great to have somebody who wasn't from one of the units, so, because that would help everybody feel comfortable speaking. And that, you know, I can speak from experience having led some of this work over the last 2 years, that it takes a good chunk of time away from my other duties. And there is always the perception like, oh, well, MODL is leading it, so they're steering it, the outcome. So it is nice to have that external piece. And we were definitely thinking having somebody who can help with facilitation and has a strong understanding of intermunicipal cooperation would be the attributes that we were looking for. So that in terms of procurement, it's a low enough value that it could simply be awarded at the staff level, but we could also check in with the subcommittee before the staff made that final decision. And just speaking to the overall issue that seems to be confronting the group, I think part of the outcome of the exercise that we did, doing some facilitated discussion with some assistance from municipal affairs, my memory of it is that there was a strong understanding from all of the partners that a regional emergency response is a strong one and that we work better. There are several important benefits to working as a region, in terms of allowing for redundancy and being able to help each other out and not competing for resources. But that there were also concerns that we should have a careful look at the governance, because there's a couple of small things that we'd noticed that hadn't been picked up when Town of Lunenburg joined. For example, the number of units to approve the budget, And we were having this friction around the increase in the staff position, which was a more substantial issue. So it does seem like an appropriate time to have a careful look, just look at the whole agreement, and having the impartial facilitator can help ease that process and make sure everybody's comfortable with it.
Thank you for that. If I just jump in, I'm not kind of like Jamie. I'm not a fan of facilitators because I don't think they're, I think we quickly go to a facilitator when we don't need one. But I will say in this case, I think it's a good idea. It's a little bit more complex because there's five different units that may be coming at this from five different angles. And so making sure that it's seen as unbiased and steered by someone who kind of doesn't have any skin in the game, I think is probably going to get us a better result in the end. And hopefully the result of that is that we don't have to do this for a long time. But to Andre's point, it is, we are due to have it done anyway, because they're, you know, times are changing. So I think who the facilitator is going to be very important. So just making sure that it's someone who understands the complexity of five units coming together, collaborating. We all have our differences. So I think that I'm sure you'll find someone that's, that you can recommend that's really good. So, but I do, again, as much as I don't like facilitators when we don't need them, I think in this case, we probably do. Chastity.
Yeah, you kind of said a lot of what I was going to say. Because of the content and the outcome we're looking to get, I think a facilitator is the way to go. And I'm normally one to say, why can't we do it in-house? But for this particular thing and working with five units, facilitator is the way to go, and having the right facilitator that understands what we're trying to achieve.
Perfect. Any other thoughts from folks? No?
No, makes sense.
Okay. So, Angela, you need a motion to proceed?
I think so. That would be great. Thanks.
Yeah. Motion to proceed to find a facilitator and schedule a time that works for the councils. Yeah.
I so move.
Kate, Braden, seconded by Chastity. Further discussion? Rachel, you look like you want to say something.
I'm just still not sure how this happens. Like, does this just come back as a recommendation to us as REMAC, and then we approve the facilitator? Because we keep mentioning involvement of councils, and I'm not quite sure how and when that fits into the whole process.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah,
I'm good with the facilitator, but I'm just, you know, trying to figure out how this gets worked into our process.
So I think the recommendation is for REMAT to recommend to each municipal council this approach, and then we will have to find the facilitator and do the scheduling. So, you know, it leaves the municipal councils in the driver's seat in terms of how they want to participate, and I think that's why this was such a, this is probably going to be the most effective way to engage everybody in a fulsome way, so that everybody who wants to be involved gets that opportunity.
Jamie.
Yeah, you sold me on the facilitator. I'm going to be good with that. The problem is, just a heads up, we don't meet till the 19th of August again. So, I mean, for us to get a sign off on our whole council, it would be the 19th of August. And we've all agreed that to take a little break for a bit, we're not going to be calling any special meetings unless it's a real emergency. So I'd be hard pressed to call them back for this. But if it's being funded through REMAC or REMO, then I can't see any issue with it, to be quite honest, as we're not really asking our council for anything. We're just basically informing them the way we're moving, the direction we're moving in. So, again, I'm sure I'm okay with this now. That's how a democratic process works. You guys sold me on it, and I'll support it. But, again, I don't think you'll get sign-off from our council officially till after the 19th, but I'm sure we're willing to, obviously participate like we always have been.
So I can just clarify
jump in then
process. Brady. If the motion does recommend it on to councils, And that is intended to make sure the councils understand the process that we're going through. But if REMAC does that, you have a second motion saying we're going to draw from our contingencies to do it. So we can proceed with the organization steps, and that's fine if the town of Lunenburg doesn't see the motion until August 19th, as long as REMAC is comfortable and approves it today.
Thank you. Braden? Oh, Jamie, sorry, do you have a follow-up? Jamie, sorry. No, okay, sorry, Braden, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Alex, for that clarification. A few other notes on process. I think in terms of the hiring, unless there are any strong objections, I assume that will come back to probably the advisory committee just to avoid having to recall the full meeting. Angela or someone else can correct me if it needs to come back to the full group for approval, but I assume it will get determined by staff and then come back to the advisory committee for determination, because after all, each municipal unit has a representative on this committee, so we all have a voice there. And then the other part in terms of council involvement is then every council will have their own session with this with the facilitator. So every individual council, that will get scheduled, however these things get scheduled. But every individual council will have their own session with the facilitator, as well as then a broader session with Remo with the facilitator. And that's where I imagine we'll unpack the results from each of those five individual sessions. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that's the process that we determined.
I don't know that you're going to get five separate council sessions. You're probably going to get a group session with the facilitator, and that's the big benefit of this, is that people from municipal councils can hear the other councilors from the other councils at the same time, so everybody hears the same information, gets the same opportunity to discuss their concerns, and I think that's the big benefit here. So yeah, it'll be kind of like it was for the orientation session, in a big room with all of us there. And so, yes, there will be some scheduling challenges to be sure, but I think they're overcomable. I think as far as the choice of the facilitator goes, staff's going to figure out who the best person is that's available that can meet our schedule requirements. And I would anticipate that we'd come back to the governance subcommittee to say, here's our person. As long as there's no objection, we're going to proceed with this person.
Yeah, that's correct. The purchasing value is there's staff authority to award that. So there's no need to come back to REMAC, but certainly a check-in with the governance committee to make sure there's no major red flags would be appropriate.
Yeah. Thank you. Penny.
Thank you. I lost track of the conversation at one point and just wanted to clarify whether the municipal affairs staff are still on the list as a possible facilitator.
So I was actually going to speak to that earlier, and Alex or Angela, you can jump in. I think that we could ask somebody for municipal affairs. The question is whether or not that's the best idea. Again, there's potentially some bias, although the person that we had in mind is very professional. And the other thing that we might want to consider is, our ability to do things as a region, I think, carries a good message. I think current context with what the provincial government is trying to do for regional emergency management, we may not necessarily want to signal that we need their help to do something. So, but yes, I think that is an option, is probably the less preferred option at this point.
The less preferred option. And the follow-up question is there a cost involved if the ministry staff facilitate?
I mean, they're normally pretty good about just helping out, but I don't know whether they would bill us.
Alex?
Yeah, we've used their assistance in the past, in the last year. No, there's no cost, there are some scheduling things, and there was multiple extra approval steps required this past go around because of the changes the province was doing for emergency management. So we had to give all kinds of assurances that we weren't going to ambush them and grill them about regulations and whatnot. So we are looking for a different voice in the room, and the timing means that the approval process would be as much of a headache as just paying $4,000.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Tara.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in because to Penny's question, I don't know that municipal affairs staff would do this. This is more of a consulting role. And so we're looking for a report and recommendations, and I think they'd want to stay fairly neutral. So we can reach out to them about the facilitated session, but I don't think that they would act in the capacity where they'd be giving a report and recommendations.
Fair enough. Thank you. Elspeth.
Yeah, first of all, my apologies for being late. I couldn't log on my computer. It went on holidays too. I just want to be clear. This session is now intended for all full councils.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions? So we have a motion on the floor. You ready for the question? All those in favor, signal that
aye.
Somehow.
Aye.
those opposed? Motion is carried. Do we need a second motion in terms of using the contingency funds? So I need a motion to authorize the use of REMO contingency funds to engage the facilitator. Moved by Elspeth, seconded by Braden. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. That is that's the end of that one, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I have to scroll all the way back up to the top for my agenda. Angela, you had a couple other things to just go over?
Yeah. I'll just give a small update with regard to the Department of Emergency Management and then some staff updates. So the reason I'm in my car, I'm waiting to go into a Department of Emergency Management session today. Just some highlights that have come out since our last meeting. The new executive director is Mark Fury for Department of Emergency Management on the regional infrastructure and operations side. And the director is Andrew Mitten. So I'll be working with them quite frequently. We're going to be going over the standards today. So I'll know a little bit more after this afternoon. Other than that, there are, you know, some small changes of staffing and things like that, but I don't think anything that needs to get involved from an advisory perspective. From a staff update, we're obviously looking at the standards. Some of your councils have looked at sending up a letter to the department, and that has gone as well as one just generally from REMO. So that was just some of the feedback that the CAOs and myself looked at as they were actually asking all of the municipal units to have some feedback. So that's been sent up. And Alex, do you want to talk on that now? Of what you learned on Friday?
Yes, sure. So we, as a region, we have some serious concerns with the requirements that they're putting in place. We absolutely think that standards for emergency management are important, and we are happy to make improvements where they make sense. A couple of requirements, and one in particular, the requirement for automatic in-person activation if another unit activates, is going to be problematic for us. We talk a lot about our activation gap. We're working to try and have staff trained who are not in the REMO team so that we have enough people to staff our emergency coordination center. So we already have challenges there. One of the ways that we manage it is by using virtual activation so that it's not as much of a burden on staff who have to respond after hours. And we can think of multiple examples in the last year where we've activated, but there's been no risk of that incident spilling over and affecting a neighboring municipality. So if they put in place a standard that requires mandatory physical activation if another unit within your regional group activates, we are going to have a major challenge recruiting municipal staff to fill those positions. Even though you do get paid overtime, it's a hassle and conflicts with family time and logistics and all sorts of issues for us. So we heard that there are some other units that have concerns about this, and East Hants has written a letter both about the structuring of emergency management, but also about this activation. So it might be useful for us to send a letter as a region, in addition to the concerns that have been submitted by individual units, just identifying that some of the standards, particularly mandatory physical reciprocal activation, will cause us problems and won't provide better emergency response.
Has anyone reached out to other, like across the province? So we mentioned East Hants, but do we, you know, is this something that CIOs are talking to other CIOs, for example, and finding out, like, if we're all in the same boat, then
yep. It's helpful. So I think that there is some discussion happening at the CAO level. So we know other units do have those concerns. We haven't done a full jurisdictional scan, so I don't want to misrepresent that. The other issue is we have one of the more developed emergency management programs in the province. So this particular issue jumps out at us because it presents a challenge and doesn't improve emergency response, whereas other units are sort of inundated by a whole host of concerns because they don't have the same level of program that we do, and they know that they're going to be required to build up to that. So they have many other issues in addition to this one.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks. Andre.
Thank you. This concern is, I guess, correct me, I guess, Angela, predicated on sort of some draft standard that they haven't actually officially released yet. And I presume from that there could be other concerns once they actually finalize whatever. Are they actually going to consult, or is this going to be just a rollout, or like how is this actually going to work? Because I think that we're
that's
sort of hearing
$1 million question.
Like a rumor mill kind of environment here where we're like, this doesn't sound like a good idea, this particular thing they're talking about, but like a more thoughtful approach would be to actually review a completed standard and as a draft in our REMO or with our councils or however we chose to do it, and then come back with a feedback for the regulator saying that this is what we would, this is what we like and this is what we don't like. And then they would compile those feedbacks from all the different REMOs and then, you know, then hopefully make some fine tuning and then release a final document. But so I would like, and part of me, my knee jerk reaction is to provide some sort of feedback based on this informal discussion I believe that you've had about some of the things. But, you know, there could be other concerns we have also in this document that's being prepared that, you know, we would not have addressed.
Yeah, all of the points that you've raised are very valid. So at some point, I'm going to say back April, May-ish, there was a lot of discussion that the CAOs were not being consulted. AMANS had agreed that information should flow through them to make sure that all CAOs across the province are aware of what's going on rather than just handpicking. They asked CAOs to volunteer to be on a CAO table. So Tom from our region is on it. And he has attended a meeting. However, everything was embargoed. So the other CAOs couldn't even see the information. I came to a session in May, May, and I saw some of the ideas that they were presenting, but we didn't actually see the full-fledged standards. There was another meeting 2 weeks ago that Tom couldn't attend, and us today as the EMCs are going to be reviewing it. My understanding is there will be one final kick at the can to provide that feedback up, and I'm just waiting to find out the day. So after today, I'll know a lot more information, and I'll actually see the actual standards, which can then be shared. In the past, since this has all happened, every time that they give us a deadline, it's usually within 1 to 2 weeks that we have to provide feedback. So it's very short. So I can't answer it, Andre, unfortunately, just because I haven't even seen the standards. We're supposed to be discussing them today, and we haven't even seen them for review of it. So I'll learn a little bit more as the time goes through today. And Tom's obviously on vacation right now. I did ask Tina while I was driving up to look, and we can't find a copy of the standards in his email either. So there's been some screenshots that has been sent out last week that the CAO sent, but I don't believe it's the actual full set of standards.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yeah,
then, Jamie, then back to Andre.
Well, I guess that anything we can respond with at this time might be helpful maybe, but just a blunt question, does this government even care what we have to say? Or are they just going to come up with their own standards and rules and regulation and tell us that we have to follow? Because that seems to be the path they're hitting in with everything in the last month or so. So, I mean, it's disappointing to hear that we're talking about something as important as REMO. We're actually, as a community now, going to, you know, we have a governance committee trying to make sure we're doing it right. We're moving into the future. We don't want to leave one of our partners out. We're all working sort of jointly. And now the province is going to come up with standards and really not even looking for any advice from all of us. I don't quite understand, but I think that we should write some type of correspondence to them with our concerns personally, and let them know that we're a bit disappointed that, you know, we're not more involved in the process, because this sounds like their office is just going to come out with a bunch of standards. They're going to pass it and send it back to us, and they're not going to care what we really care. At least that's what this government seems to be doing with multiple issues recently.
Thanks, Jamie. Andre.
These guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess because we don't actually have the completed document, that I would hate to provide feedback on one particular issue and then the regulators think that is our feedback. Mm-hmm. And then there could be other little nuggets in there that will also create a lot of problems. If we were going to correspond in any official capacity, I think it would be that we see we have some concerns about some of items that have been proposed that we're aware of, and that we would like to have a chance to have some meaningful discussion at the end once the actual document is released, before actually approving it in its final form. You know, I think that somehow has to be communicated. I
think that's probably the letter we should be sending to the province, is that we request that there be adequate time after the draft regulations are provided to us for us to comment and give feedback.
Yeah. So we can say that we have concerns about some of the things we've seen. Yep. But I just don't want to be too specific about one particular issue. Mm-hmm. Because there could be other ones in there that, you know, and they just dust off their hand and say, oh, we addressed that one concern, you're good.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. I think also one thing that we were kind of uncovering as the discussions happened was they're asking CAOs to review some documents and to provide feedback on behalf of their municipality, versus not understanding that the CAOs have to take things back to their councils. And so that's why we asked for unembargoed copies and things. So there's even disconnection in regard to the whole process that they've got as well.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to keep us updated on this.
I'll keep you updated. I'll make some of those comments today at our in-person session, and hopefully we can at least see some versions of the standards. I can send them out, and then we'll look at what the timing is. The last Wednesday when we got the one email, it said feedback had to be done by Friday. So it's just, yes. So
feedback
that's
on
what we've
something.
Been working. Yeah. So I'll absolutely keep you informed with whatever I see. I flagged it with Tina, if she sees anything in Tom's, and I've also asked the other CAOs, because they get documents that we don't, so we're trying to all get the documents so that we can actually see what's going on. Yeah.
Okay. Penny.
Thank you. I admire everybody else's patient and calm comments. Well, I'm feeling very cranky hearing Angela's description of arriving at a meeting with the province having no documents beforehand. I find that absolutely shocking. So that if we are going to write a letter, could we write a letter about the process, standards for communication process. If the province wants to talk about standards, can we talk about standards for communication? I'm shocked.
I wish I was shocked with you, Penny. I think this is par for the course. You know, we've seen this over and over again. We got the police review documents 45 minutes before the public got the police review documents for the, you know, there's a whole bunch of the timeline for all these things. It's kind of like shock and awe, right? Come out quick. Don't give you enough information. Ask for your feedback quickly. And, oh, we didn't hear anything. Therefore, they must be fine. So I think we should be communicating. I think the NSFM should be the body that's communicating with the province saying you need to figure out a better way to communicate with us. But I don't know if it's going to fall on deaf ears. Andre.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not sure what the timeline is for this rollout. I don't know if anybody really knows. But should we in this meeting then ask to put together some sort of letter then? I'm concerned if we wait till our next meeting, well, maybe we'll already have the completed document. I don't even know. Like, I'm not getting a good sense of from Angela of when it's going to drop. You know, I have actually participated in meaningful consultation about a regulatory change in the past, you know, before the province abandoned the Coastal Protection Act. Actually, there was a very, very meaningful consultation that happened. And it took a long time, and it was the best that I've ever participated in. And since that time, well, they threw that away. since that time, actually, you know, it just seems like it has gotten continually worse. So I don't know. I guess I'm going to ask the question from Angela if she thinks that this is something that could, you know, could they say, okay, you know, we're close enough, and then just send it out as a completed document in the next month or.
Yes.
Okay, well then maybe we should.
Yeah, my understanding is they want to have things kind of in line some point in September. So I think my recommendation is let me see what's going on today, try to get some timelines, and also if I can get my hands on the actual document. And then if I need to, I'll draft something up on behalf of advisory, share it with David. I can share it with all of you for viewing and get David to sign it, and we send something up. But I don't think that we will have time between this meeting and our next one in September, in honesty. Yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk to them, ask them about, sorry, through the chair, of course. Sure. If we're going to ask them for some time, maybe we should write that letter or like make a motion to right now to write a letter just asking for a bit of time to look at this. So this thing over. Doesn't hurt.
No, I agree.
I appreciate Angela trying to. It shouldn't be that you gotta like steal the documents from this other government like some sort of espionage situation, but this is what it's come to, unfortunately. So
yeah. So I don't think it's unreasonable for us before we end this meeting to get a motion on the approved that directs Angela to write a letter, or whatever, me to write a letter as the chair, requesting the province give us adequate time with the draft. Full set of draft regulations to provide feedback.
Excellent words. So moved.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with that. Second by Jamie. Mm. Okay. Before we move to the vote on that, we've got a few hands up.
Yeah. So,
Rachel.
Yeah, thanks. Honestly, I was just going to say the same thing. You know, let's not wait. So it's all been said, I think. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Suzanne.
Yes. Hi. And let's not forget we have Mark Fury and Andrew Mitten from our area representing. I think they should be CC'd on any communication right now. And I've worked closely with Mark, as you all know, and many of you have in years ago. He is very thorough with documents and whatnot. I think if we get some messaging to him, I'm not saying he can slow down, but he will go through things too. we may as well take advantage of it.
Yeah, it'll his direction will be based on direction from
higher
up. So yeah,
I know, yeah. But you know, sometimes people can, you know, work things in. So
fair enough.
I always have hope.
Penny.
I'm assuming that a letter will be copied to the three MLAs.
That's probably not a bad idea.
Okay.
Yep.
Should that be included in the motion? Or not?
I mean, we can, or we can just make sure it's sent to the appropriate people. Yeah. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Okay.
David, if I might say one other thing. I think that their understanding and their belief is that since they've gotten AMANS involved, that is their consultation. But I think that there's still a lot of gaps. So I'll share what I think that they think versus what's actually happening.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So we have a motion on the floor. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion is carried. Anything else, Angela, on this agenda? Oh, you're muted.
That's everything else. I will hold everything till the next meeting there, which is, I don't
September
know what the date
15th.
Is. Thank you. I didn't have it there. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So you'll get back to us with the facilitator and those items and the letter, and we'll get that sent off.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else, can I have a motion to adjourn? Jamie, seconded by Braden. We are adjourned. All right, folks, enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll keep you in the loop with everything else.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Angela. September good luck.
15th. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
September 15th.
Yep, September 15th.
It should be in your calendar as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye.